Supporting me on what might be the most special night up until now, other than my 1968 Broadway appearance about three, four blocks at the Broadhurst Theater, 1968. So what I'm gonna ask you is just let's come with us. If you wouldn't mind, I'm gonna play a song I think some of you would know, because many of you know me because I was fortunate enough to be in a television show called The Partridge Family. So, with no more hesitation, although I am gonna talk a lot, people complain about it. Oh God, you talk so much. Really? I'm very sorry about that, but what are they gonna do, fire me tomorrow? No, that ain't gonna happen. So I hope if you figured on like 75 minutes tonight, yeah, you better ask your limo driver to come a little later. Come on with me. To the Parsons Family. I recorded it in less than 6 minutes and walked right back in and recorded it literally, I'm going to say 25 steps from the Columbia Pictures lot where we were shooting. So I hope you will remember, and this is what I want you to feel tonight. And love each other for the rest of your God-given life. And try with everything you've got to do what I'm about to tell you. And look for this song I'm singing. Oh yeah, good. All I love in this world I'll be bringing. Make you happy. You gotta agree we go traveling together. Spread a little love and then we keep moving on. Something always happens when we're together. Get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. Hello world, there's a song I sing. Come on, get happy. That's what I want you to feel. Whole lot of love in this world I'll be bringing ya. Make you happy. We have a dream, we go to travel together. Spend a little love and then we keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. Get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. Do it for me. Look with the song and sing. Come on, get happy. Oh, come on. Whole lot of love is what I'll be bringing. I'll make you happy. Have a dream and go travel together. Spread a little love and then we keep moving on. Something always happens when we're together. Get a happy feeling when we're singing that song. Come on with me. will make you, oh, I'm loving that. It's New York, baby, come on. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. This was the first track on my very first, thank God for you all, triple platinum album. It was called the Partridge Family album. I think I was still 19 when I recorded it. Close. I hope you like it. I love this song. I can feel your heartbeat, even though you say a word. I can feel your heartbeat, even though you didn't say a word. But I know pretty big that I could be hurt. You give me my heartbeat too. She feels me. I know a pretty woman, but you're not gonna be hurt. One of my favorite songs that I recorded as a young lad and was written by my dear friend, late great songwriter who taught me a lot about it and the art of it and the craft of it. Mr. Tony Romeo wrote this song and I love it very much. Window walking downtown, see you living mighty good. And I noticed from the corner how all alone she stood. Underneath the lamplight, angel in disguise. But my little runaway, teardrops in her eyes. Crazy little rat. Her head was wild and tossed, and I put my arms around her, as I knew that she was lost. She didn't seem to notice anyone looking near. Suddenly she turned to me, she whispered in my ear.
Who was the one that helped me? So beautiful.
walked her to the station, kissed away her tears, knowing I'd remember her through all the coming years. Right down on that grave, waved with all of mine up against the window as the bus pulled out of sight. Remarkable, and I truly owe just about everything I have to each and every one of you who've supported everything I've done, in creatively at least. So I want you to know how much I love and appreciate the way you've given me this gift. It's never been a job. It's always been, for me, love and fun as hell. Could you put a little bit of reverb in here too? Just a little. Yeah, thanks, as we talked about. I want to do something because I am here and I chose to be here at B.B. King's tonight. I chose to do that because I love it here. I met B.B. King when I was in high school, a non-professional at 17 years old. And he was playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go because I'd moved from back east here to LA. And I still need more voice. I'm yelling already. A little more thank you in my monitors. Thank you. I went with a friend of mine. I was one of six white people. Before B.B. King became B.B. King, he was a fantastic blues playing influence on my favorite guitar players. That would be Eric Clapton. That would be, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, all the rest of the guys that are still, in many people's eyes, the greatest blues guitar players, and et cetera. But I met B.B. through their influence on me, and I went there, and after I saw his show, it was remarkable. There were no security people. There were no minders. There was nobody carrying anything. He was alone as he walked off after the show, and I was standing out there waiting for my friend to pick me up, who parked way down the street. He came out and I said, "Excuse me, Mr. McKing, would you mind? I thought your show was fantastic." And he said, "Well, thank you very much." I said, "My name is Dave Cassidy. It's nice to meet you. And could I carry your guitar up to your car, Lucille?" And he said, "Yes, thank you very much, David." We walked and talked together for about maybe a minute and a half. He opened the trunk of his car, no limo, no security, just simple, easy, no, there was nothing. You can't even compare. This is 1967, I'm in high school, I'm not famous, I'm not a professional. I put Lucille in his trunk. And he said, "Well, so what do you do? What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, actually, I've been working with the LA Theater Company. I'm an actor, but I've always been playing in like really bad blues guitar garage bands. And I have bunch of your records, and I can't tell you how much I'm grateful to be here tonight and also to listen to you. And he said, well, thank you. I said, maybe someday, I don't think so, but I'm going to be an actor and I just play for fun and I sing. And he said, well, I wish you the best of luck, David. You seem like a very fine young man. And I said, I'd like to believe I am, but I want you to know what a tremendous influence you've been on me and the planet. And within a matter of 3 years out of high school, I was nominated for 2 Grammys. And I sat I met him 3 years later. Could you just take the echo down a little bit? Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. I met him 3 years later at the rehearsal for the television version of the Grammys. And I came and introduced myself to him again. And I reminded him of what happened, and he smiled and said, I thought your face looked familiar. You doing this now? I said, yeah, I'm lucky. I was an actor, they cast me as an actor, and yeah, I did an audition and all the rest of it. But he said, I can't congratulate you enough. It was stuff like that that he said to me. I'm so happy for you. And I do remember you. Now, I'm not sure if he actually did, but I love the fact he said he did to make me feel better at 20 years old, you know? Anyway, it was a great experience for me. And I wanted to share it with you because I had an offer to go and do, I'm gonna talk a lot, so if you're bored, I'm sorry, but it's the last thing I'm doing, so. You can't fire me, you can say shut up or get off the stage, but I'm not going to do so. I got an offer a few months ago to come to New York City and play at the Beacon Theater, which is a great theater. And I said, no, I do not want to do that. This is one of my favorite venues in the world. This is the heart of where I was born and raised. And you all have proven it to me that I made the right choice. So thank you all. This is a little tribute to Mr. B.B. King. One of my favorite songs he has ever recorded. Couldn't be more fitting. I got me a sweet little angel, baby. Love the way she spreads her wings. Yes, I do. Got a sweet little angel, baby. Love the way she spread her wings. The way she put her arms about me, she give me joy so many other days. You know, I asked my baby for a nickel. She gave me a $20 bill. Yes, I asked my baby for a nickel. You know what she did? She gave me a $20 bill. Man, when she put her arms around me, she gave me nothing but thrill. Thank you. is Mr. Craig J. This is Mr. Dan Robichaud. Do something very special now, because for many years and hundreds of shows, I have been blessed to be with this core group of a band, which is fantastic, all of them amazing. I want you to know that I'm going to introduce someone I haven't played with for over 2 years, but has been a big part of our lives, both personally, I mean our lives, and professionally. I want to introduce one of the most talented and fantastic people I've ever played with, one of the greatest drummers I've ever played with who plays music, Miss Terry Cote.
Perfect. All right. We all have to stretch our memories. Emotion, extreme emotion.
Coach Andy.
Thank you.
Boy, must give apologies too. Terry's gonna play drums, a song with us before Felipe Torres comes back. And I'm so happy you're here with us tonight. I mean, it means a lot to me.
I am too.
Terry's been with us hundreds of shows.
It's a pleasure.
Oh yes. So indulge me just for another 1 minute, from it won't be longer. 1968, I took a job at a part-time job, moved from LA 2 weeks after I graduated high school, took a part-time job on 6th Avenue in a Deering Milliken textile company in the mail room, and I cleared $38.80 a week, which at that time it was crap, but it was better than nothing since I was supporting myself. And I auditioned. I took a part-time job, so I auditioned. And on my sixth audition at the Winter Garden Theater on 7th, I was awarded the job, the first professional job of my life, after being turned down and auditioned probably 100, 200 times, who knows. But it changed my life, and in many ways, I'm grateful for this song. As I walked out, I don't even remember touching the ground. It went right over to the rehearsal hall. And this song was blasting out of like a 65 big, huge Buick Pontiac convertible, blasting out. And it has meaning for me for that reason. So I hope you will indulge me in something. I know you all know this song, it's just so killer. Just sing, do whatever you want to do while we're playing. You can scream and yell, whatever you want to do, but we'll be playing now. So here it is.
Hush, hush, you're hurting, I'm not feeling that hush.
great. And here's one of my three favorite, four favorite, five favorite, so many favorite Parks and Chapman songs. This one was written for me by one of the greatest songwriters of pop music in the 60s and 70s, who was partners with his wife, Carole King. So this is Goffin and King.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are not really songwriting aficionados, there's a place here where it was called, I think it's still called, the Brill Building. Have you guys ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Barry Manson, Thea Wild, who I met and knew and became friends of mine and wrote for me, Jerry Goffin and Carole King, Neil Sedaka in Greenfield, and Neil Diamond. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but it's probably the most incredible creative melting pot of songwriters and crafting a whole two generations. If that I am, I'm gonna ask you to applaud a lot tonight. You don't have to for me, but for the people who are so influential in my life. I could not believe, I already had a couple of, I had a triple platinum album, and I had a couple of big hit singles and all that, and Jerry Goffin walked into the recording studio when I was in there, and I recognized him because I team picked him. I'm such a song guy freak. And he handed me a cassette. I said, I can't believe I'm getting meeting. He said, oh, I can't believe I'm meeting you. Here, I wrote you a song. Jerry Goffin wrote me a song? I was like, oh my God. Yeah, and it's so great. I'm so proud to say that I got to know him a little bit, but also that he was such an influence on me. That I hope you love this song as much as I do, and know that it sold over 1 million copies as a single. And I will play it for you now. You and I could say we could finally see each other. Will there come a time you can find the time to reach out for one another? We've been traveling in circles such a long, long time, trying to say hello. Just let it ride to someone. Yeah. day. You and I can say, if I listen to each other, we come a time, we can find a time, we can finally touch each other. Thank you so much. Oh, I love that song. Wow. Such great vivid memories of you singing around the world. And I love the fact that it touched the nerve in you as it does in me every time. It means so much to me. I could feel it. And
if ever you're gonna feel anything on the stage tonight, it might be tonight, bro.
Amen. I want to devote and dedicate this song to my late great friend, Mr. Davy Jones. You better sing with me. I need you to sing with me. Oh, I could fly beneath the wings as you sing. 6 o'clock, long will never rain. But it rains. And it's day.
Oh,
How about it? Applaud yourselves, you are awesome. This one I dedicate to one of the greatest songwriters in the history of mankind and an absolute genius. My father taught me this song that was written by what I just mentioned, a genius, and one of the greatest songwriters of the 20th century, without a doubt. He wrote this song in 1932, and I'm talking about Cole Porter. Yeah, come on. One of my all-time favorite songs, and eventually Craig and I will do songs my father taught me. And eventually, amen is that, right? That might be the last time I go in and record, but I want to do this before I'm no longer, and has nothing to do with my early stages of dementia. Nothing to do with that. As you can tell, I've always forgotten stuff, and that's just who I am. So I only want you to know I'm really well. I'm really fine. Honestly. Occasionally I have a bad day or night, but I'm as forgetful as I always was, I think. No, I am. I'm just so fortunate to be able to sing all of this great music and take you on this ride with me tonight through my musical life. So here is what Dad taught me. I think it was 1954. So see if you can bear with me. Night and day, you are the one. Only you, neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. Think of you day and night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the morning traffic, in the silence of my lonely room, think of you day and night. Night and day, under the height of me, there's no sun burning inside of me. And this torment won't be through till you let me spend my life look to you every single day and night. My brother, Mr. Greg Jay. Now, as we go through the journey of how this all happens and how the world is the way it is today, I don't know about some of you, but I feel like a freaking alien. It's like, what planet am I on? You'll find this, I think, rather amusing, or at least interesting, and then scratch your head and say, kind of an idiot, is he? I do not go online any longer. Not at all on the internet. Zero. No email, no cesspool of social media, nothing. Because I have a life that has not anything to do with anybody else's life. It's my life. In my life. It's your life. I don't fault you if you want to do that, but listening to somebody else's opinion of you, why would I care? Sorry, I'm starting to really lose it. But why would I care? For what? Do you know me? Are you close to me? Have you been around me? No. I'll just write shit about you so that, you know, I could feel important. I got to a point about, I guess it was about 2.5 years ago. Yeah. I just said, I'm never doing this anymore. And by the grace of God, I have a fantastic friend and assistant in Australia named Jane, and she takes care every day and updating her. I give her an applause. She's amazing. She's on Facebook. She does DavidCassidy.com. And I talk with her every other day. She's an amazing human being and loves you all like I can't even tell you, and has been so... such an asset to me that I can actually say that in the world that we live in today. And I've tried in my life, people ask me, actually, I don't know if some of you saw it or maybe a few of you, but it's, I did probably the most revealing interview with Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
That aired, I think, about 4 or 5 days ago, I don't know. But it astounded me. I asked him after the People magazine thing came out and the interview, which was great. But I wanted to get his opinion and get his feedback, and I also wanted to share it with the rest of the world that I got nothing to hide. Tonight, I think for the rest of my life, I hope, I won't hide anything. I don't need to. As I said to you earlier tonight, what are they going to do, fire me? Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to get a call from my agent. He said, you talk too long, the show is too long. I'm like, really? Oh, well, I guess you're not going to hire me again then. I know, I love you guys, honestly. This is all stuff I wanted to talk to people about and let the world know. And he was so, Dr. Phil was so generous. I had no idea that his specialty was the brain, but specifically Alzheimer's and dementia. And my mother was in care. I was her only living relative, and I took care of her for 7 years. And the last couple of years, she passed away a few years ago, and I held her hand as she passed. And my grandfather, who was her father and who helped raise me, from the time I was about 5, when I moved from here, 4 or 5, to West Orange, New Jersey. Yes, very proud of the fact my grandfather read meters for the public service. We had a financial, analysis would be lower income than average, but loving, caring, and I was... I don't even know how to describe how grateful I was to him. One of the great thrills I had is when I performed, did a concert at, was at the, what they used to call the Garden State Arts Center, right? You know what that is? I don't know what it is now. But to see him, he also came to Madison Square Garden when I played there. To know that he got to see what he helped shape. And without his leadership and his mentoring me, God knows where I would be. But I now will do this for all of you. I was just talking about it's my life. And in my life, you have been so incredibly important and responsible for me being able to do what I'd love to do. I'm sorry about this tonight, but I'm gonna give you everything until it's gone, and even then I'll say, but this song was written by a dear friend of mine who inspired me and the rest of the world. I met him here at the Dakota with his wife, who I love also. And he came and we played together out of my house. He came to my home a couple times. We would see each other every time he was in LA. I got to play and sing with my musical hero. And his name is John Lennon.
Yeah.
For those of you that... His influence on the planet, I think, was the most significant of any individual in the 60s in terms of make love, not war. All we're asking is give peace a chance.
There you go.
And on and on and on with Imagine. So this song is appropriate because I sing it. I'm the vessel through his thoughts, love, and what he did for me and for every single one of you. The world has changed because of him, in my opinion, most influential person, certainly in the 60s, about the world needs more love, does it not? Now, I mean, that's why I say I feel like an alien, but anyway, I'm gonna sing this song that he wrote, and I will sing it and dedicate it to you from me and my heart and my soul. This is it. There are places I remember all my life. Some have changed. Forever, not for better. Some are gone, some remain. All those places have their moments. People and friends still can recall. Though I often stop and think about them. My life, love them all. Friends and lovers, there is no one as with you. Those memories have their meaning. When I think of love, something new. I'll never lose affection for people and friends. Still can recall, no, I'll often stop. Think about in my life, I love them all. No, I know I will never lose affection. For people and friends, still can recall. No, I'll often stop and think about them. With my life, I love you all. All the way from Westport, Connecticut. On vocals and lead guitar, it's the Dave Robichaud. What do you feel like, dude?
It's our last night here.
What do you want to do?
5 years. Thank you for the music.
Well,
including me.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And here we are on Broadway.
I know. It's appropriate, isn't it? Where I started, where I was born.
Yeah, it's your street.
Thank you, brother. No, I appreciate it.
So I'm gonna sing a song for you.
I would love to hear it. I have often walked down this street before. Pavement always straight beneath my feet before. All at once, about several stories gone. Knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? No drumsticks, his hands. That's why you wear those rings. Felipe Torres. amazing. You're amazing. Speaking of amazing, for a little over 15 years, this man who is the sexiest man on the stage, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from where I used to live, one of many places, musical direction, arguably the best bass player I've ever heard or played with, but one of the most killer, killer human beings. Talent that's way up the chart. From Las Vegas, Mr. Frank Fabio. Are we at 15 years or 16? 16 years. Around the world, baby. Because you ain't never heard anything like this. All the way from Chicago, Illinois, Mr. Craig J. Never run the words to this. It's just what I remember.
You got it, you got it, you got it.
Sit your lights back. I'm Broadway. This said there's always magic in the air. At them tonight, it gives us all the right. I love it here on Broadway. Mr. Craig J. Vocal, organ, keyboard. Craig J. My man. Woo! Oh, thank you very much then and now. You're very sweet, don't you? Thank you. Yeah, that's really kind of all you guys. I'm going to play a few of your favorite songs and some of mine that were hits. And hopefully you will appreciate the love that I have for them, these songs, the songwriters, the musicians who taught me so much, and it's because of you that I get to sing hits that I never would have had a chance to do had it not been for you. So here we go. I told you I would reveal everything about my life tonight, and I meant that. I've been suffering from arthritis on top of everything else, just delightful, which is one of the reasons my guitar playing has suffered enormously as a result of it in my hands and in my back. But one of the reasons that I'm not going to tour anymore is because it's so difficult to travel now, and going back to back to back to back doesn't help my back. So
I'm gonna play some of the great songs that I was lucky enough. Boy, what are we getting? Oh yeah? Yeah. Okay, this was a song that I absolutely hated and I nearly quit the Partridge Family over, okay? Please don't take flash photos, please don't. Yeah, I did. I won't tell you any more about it except there was the reason I almost quit and said I will not sing this song was because the writer of the song, he asked me to talk in the middle of it. And what he asked me to say to me was so friggin' lame that I just couldn't do it. And because he wrote it, and this is his explanation to me, you don't understand. We're gonna sell 2 million of this single. It only ended up 1.8, but the reason he wanted me to speak in the middle was because he said to me, all the little girls all over the world are gonna just eat it up. So now, I couldn't sing it for years. I mean, I just couldn't. I didn't, it was like impossible for me. However, sometimes about things that you become somewhat comfortable with them, you know? I used this analogy a couple of times. It's like if you're, I'll be 67 next month, by the way, but if you're old enough, when I moved back here to New York from LA 2 weeks after I graduated from high school, Nehru jackets were really cool, right? Some of you, they still are, okay. Boy, we need to have a little chat backstage, Dave, okay? I kind of put it on like an old Nehru jacket and found so much joy and humor in it that I'm going to do it for you, but I want you to listen to the depth and the magnificent poetry he asked me to speak, and I did. I will very much try, try and do it as written, but also, yeah, as written. That's all I do say. So here it is. Thank you. so am I. Here it comes. I need to prepare myself. You know, I'm no different from everybody else. I rise each day and I end each night. But it gets really lonely when you're by yourself. Gotta ask. Where is love? And who is love? I gotta know.
I woke up, yes, I woke up, to see where you are.
So this, as long as I have breath in my body, ignoring laryngitis, I'm going to sing this song for the rest of my life. And it is something that I treasure. I know many of you do as well. And it has such an impact on my life, I don't even know how to describe it. But usually I'd be riffing, just thinking about what I would say, but or sing, because I'd make up lyrics every night. But I'm doing it now for you, and you can help me by, honestly, by singing a song that you know when we get to the chorus, okay? I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. And I fall and once I wake up, something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I'll hold my pillow to my head. I spin up in my bed, and the words I dread. I love you. You'll see.